Subprime Scares.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. This time, the global sell-off started on Wall Street and swept around the world, hitting Asian markets this morning. The scare over subprime mortgages and weak retail sales sent stocks tumbling yesterday on Wall Street. Let's survey the damage. Tuesday's drop wiped out 3 days of gains. The Dow tumbled 242 points to 12,075. The Nasdaq gave up 51 points to 2,350. And the S&P slipped 28 points. It'll open at 1,377. Wall Street's worries impacted Asian markets this morning. In Tokyo, the Nikkei dropped 501 points, almost 3%. The wave of selling is impacting Europe as well. Simon Goodfellow is the chief European strategist for ING in London. He says the issues affecting the markets now are similar to those which triggered selling 2 weeks ago.
One was an increase in currency volatility. Second, we have a long-standing view that U.S. earnings will not come in nearly as strong as the consensus believes. And the single most important point behind that is the housing market and the weak U.S. consumer.
In early trading, the markets in London are down over 1%. Behind every cloud, there's an opportunity. Apparently, that's what Goldman Sachs thinks. The Wall Street Journal says the brokerage is looking to push deeper into subprime business on the bet the market will recover. Goldman told analysts the subprime problem is not spreading to other parts of the mortgage market. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is facing one of his biggest parliamentary rebellions. Dozens of his party's members are expected to vote against him today in a debate over money and missiles. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Today, Parliament votes on a $39 billion plan to renew Britain's only nuclear weapon system, to build three or four new submarines to carry American-made Trident missiles. The existing subs are good for another 17 years, but, says the government, a decision's needed now because it'll take that long to replace them. Today's vote will determine whether Britain remains a nuclear-armed state. In Parliament, Tony Blair warned his party of the dangers of giving up Trident.
The risk of giving up something that has been one of the mainstays of our security since the war, and moreover, doing so when the one certain thing about our world today is its uncertainty, is not a risk I feel we can responsibly take.
But a quarter of his supporters in Parliament disagree. They argue it would make more sense to spend the $39 billion on conventional arms. And a vote for Trident, they say, will only encourage countries like Iran to seek their own nuclear weapons. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The circus is coming to Chicago today. Media mogul Conrad Black goes on trial for fraud there this morning. As Chicago Public Radio's Gabrielle Spitzer reports, the trial may play as a corporate scandal here, but it's also top-shelf celebrity gossip abroad.
Black cuts a larger-than-life figure in his native Canada and his adopted homeland of England. He's known for expensive tastes and lavish parties. That's partially what got him in trouble. Prosecutors say Black paid for some of those luxuries with money siphoned from the public company he ran. Along with four other executives, Black is accused of looting Hollinger International to the tune of about $84 million. The company owned the Chicago Sun-Times, the London Daily Telegraph, and the Jerusalem Post, among others. Black maintains that he's completely innocent and has made no secret that he plans to sue many of his accusers. He says he's looking forward to court.
It's better than 2 years of just being defamed, attacked, having your property seized with no due process, no notice. This will be justice.
Potential witnesses include Henry Kissinger, who sat on Hollinger's board of directors. If convicted, Black could face up to 101 years in prison and $7 million in fines. In Chicago, I'm Gabriel Spitzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with four top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals, DukeExecutiveMBA.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Bush is in Mexico today, the final stop of his six-day tour of Latin America. Today he will meet with Mexican President Felipe Calderon, and border security, a touchy issue, is certain to come up. Calderon isn't happy with plans by the Bush administration to build a wall along the border. But Mexico has its own problems at its southern border, which is so porous both people and goods cross unchecked. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Mexico shares 200 border crossings with Guatemala. Many of them are illegal, like this one near the Mexican town of Ciudad Hidalgo. Dozens of rafts made of truck tire inner tubes navigate the shallow river Suchiate. They arrive on the Mexican side carrying Guatemalan migrants on their first leg of their journey to the United States. And the rafts leave weighed down by canvas sacks of corn and green papayas. Some experts estimate upward of $10 billion in contraband cross Mexico's borders each year. The Guatemalan side of the river is dangerous. Gang members hang out at a driftwood bar listening to reggaeton music. Drugs and arms are said to pass through this lawless place, and gunfights are common. Despite the danger, a half dozen flatbed trucks line the shore. They're being loaded with smuggled produce. The driver of one truck says it's worth the risk. He smuggles papayas to avoid the sales tax and import duties. This is free trade, he says, underwater. On the Mexican side, the feeling's different. A group of men play mariachi music in the shade of a tree. Nearby, a guard hired by a local farmer watches over the contraband produce as it's loaded onto rafts. This entire informal economy runs, quite literally, on the backs of Guatemalan boys. They balance 100-pound sacks on their tiny frames. Their legs quake under the strain. Rica de Leon is 15. He says he'll earn $5 for a day's work. Then he slips into the river and heads back home to Guatemala. In Chiapas, Mexico, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.